Yeah. I can't understand the World War II boys had a lot of integrity. They had a lot of know-how. We were common folks, and we treated each other as brothers.
Even the country, in World War II, I was proud to be in the service. Oh, I didn't do a lot of things like you guys did, but I did what they asked me to do.
Oh, you did your part, you better believe.
But the country was proud.
Yeah, that definitely.
And here we are at home in the Vietnam War, and everybody's fighting whether we should be there or not. That's making damn fools out of these guys.
As a country, we were very pitiful. Foolish. Yeah. We were pitiful, right. Absolutely. And I could never see this. And we made some raisin jack. We raided some damn old Jap airplanes or some old Corsairs that's been knocked down, you know, was busted up. We got some copper tubing out of there and stuff. But we made some raisin jack pretty good.
Well, that's
it wasn't bad. We didn't go blind on it anyway. We used it.
Well, in the Navy, they used to drink torpedo juice.
The torpedo.
Until they found out you went blind.
Oh, yeah. You're damn right you could go blind in one big hurry.
But it wasn't wholesale. I mean, you know, it was out of boredom.
That's right. That's
most
right.
of the guys are too damn busy. I tell you, right. we didn't have time. Well, that's something else. Go ahead. This is you.
Well, anyway, I don't know where the hell I actually left off at. But
you were at Killing or going to Killing?
Oh, yeah. We were going into Killing then. And well, I'm going to reverse this a little bit. We were coming out of Tabin now. And this is when we were coming into Killing.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're coming into Killing?
We were coming into Killing from Tabin.
Okay.
From Tabin.
That's way back.
Yeah. And General Easley was there in Killing. And we didn't have, like I said, our feet were swelled up. We couldn't hardly get our shoes on. And I took my shoes off. And I was sitting up against a palm tree like this, coconut tree. And they were bringing up the reserves. Now, this was a regiment. In other words, we were a 2nd Battalion. They were bringing up. Well, we were the 3rd Regiment. They were bringing up the 1st. One of them was on a board ship. One of the regiments, and they were bringing them up as a reserve, you know. And they were bringing them up to take our place because we was done in. We had lost 60% of our company in Tabin, and we moved up in there, and all of a sudden some Jap machine guns opened up, and they were coming out of the swamp. And we had, I don't know, it was four or five tanks that were there in line, and they were in our outfit, but we weren't tank division or nothing, but they were there to protect us, you might say. And this one Jap, they kind of stalled and they hung around, and these damn Jap machine gunners was having a ball with us, see? And old Easley, he got on, he said, "You sons of bitches, you don't know how to drive these goddamn tanks." He says, "I'll show you how," he said, you know. And he was waving his arm around, and by God, he took a bullet right in the arm. See? And then he was teed off. He was really mad. "Take this goddamn piece of iron," he says, "and you knock that thing out of there." And he made that guy drive that tank right down in the swamp, you know. And here the guy is sinking. He says, "And you fire that damn right gun of yours." Kabloom! You see the Jap fly, you know. So the guy couldn't back out. He was sinking, you know. And he hollered, "Get them winches, you know. Get them winches," he says. "Off of them other two," he says. "And line them up here and winch this thing out of here, you know." Boy, and they did. Boy, I mean, they busted her, see. Well, we got about 3 machine guns out of there. And I was sitting up against this palm tree like, man, I went boop, 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 right over the top of my head. Holy cow, you know, and I had my shoes off, see. And I'm trying to get my shoes back on, and they won't go on because my feet is about that big. So I takes off, you know. I hear that. See, when a Jap machine gun will go, brrr, then it'll stop. Well, then instead of them feeding, they feed them bullets with a
magazine.
They got not a magazine. It isn't a magazine. It's a clip. It's a steel clip. You know,
instead of
and then they hook them. They just hook them on. You know, hook not a belt. It's a steel belt. But then they just hook them on, you know, and then they go on to, and then they hook them on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. Instead they'll run that dig on through, and then they'll shove a new belt in there and crank her, you know, rack her, and then they'll shoot that out. Well, I knew that, see? Well, that was my time. I got up and I run like a son of a, I run right through a bunch of sand burrs, and my feet were just solid. My feet hurt. Holy they hurt so bad that I couldn't even feel them no more, and I had ringworm from my big toe on up to my belt, and I had yaws that big on my legs all over, you know. So, anyway, I wasn't the only one. We were all like that. We come out of them jungles from Tabin, Tabin, and out in the jungles and so on, we come out of there. So we were sent back to the battalion agency. Lieutenant Brown, the doctor. And we had captured a bunch of barrels of Jap alcohol, you know. And I didn't know this, you know, Jap alcohol.
We missed a good chance there.
You know, you go in an aid station, they all smell the same.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
And he had a big tub there, like just regular wash tub, big wash tub. And I told you we had gotten some blankets or they got them somewhere anyway. The towels, you know, nice white towels, big towels and stuff. And they were Japs towels, and stuff, I'm sure of it. Anyway. So we were brought in there, some of us guys, you know. And Lieutenant Brown says, drop your pants. Well, I ain't got a hell of a lot to drop there. Pants are gone. So we drop our pants, you know. We're bare ass. Lean up against that table. I said, yes, sir. Lean up against that table. And I thought he had water there, you know, this tub of stuff, you know.
Nice, smooth
and,
water.
Yeah, nice. He dips that thing in there like this here, you know, and he hits you right from the front here down, you know. Holy Christ, it was that Jap alcohol. I called him everything but Dr. Brown. I said, you're the damnedest butcher I ever seen. Turn around, he said, cook. Yes, sir. He let me have it right in the ass, you know, all the way down.
Hot time in the old town tonight.
Oh, my God. So, we had... the sun's shining. Oh, God, it must have been 90 degrees or better. So he puts us under a palm tree, you know, and there's where the shade was like that, and we're laying on a stretcher, see? We're laying on a stretcher. And we ain't got nothing on. We're stripped. We're laying on a stretcher. You know, women walk by, you know, we're laying there, you know. Just our legs are sticking. Our bodies just about. This, from the shade. We was in the shade. You know, and the rest was in the sun. We had to cook that crap out of us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Holy crow.
Well, we only got about two treatments of that, see. But then we had to go back on the line. Got our feet down to where we could put our shoes back on. And we never put shoelaces in. We just put a couple of strings in and tied them. That was it, just to hold the tops together. You know what I mean? And,
That's got to be hard now. You're talking about with regular field boots.
Yeah.
Which dry out and are harder than
right.
shit.
That's right.
And that's rubbing you while you're
walking. Oh, yeah. Oh, you better believe. You know, I mean, know as that. Far as them there flappers goes, we just cut them off even. We just cut them even off.
That's right. Made Oxford.
Yeah, down, see. Yeah. Well, the you remember they had the belt, they had the buckles. Yeah. I just cut them off.
We
like
did too. We used to cut them off and make Oxford
out of
them.
Yeah, you could do that
and that's
too.
All we wore.
Yeah, but... But we just cut that top. We had them upright, but we had them tied up here, like that. Just a piece of rope or anything we could find in a tie, you know. And we had a lot of rope. So anyway, so that was some of the...
That was a rest period, wasn't it?
That was a rest period. It really was. It was really a rest period.
You got off the line.
Yeah. I mean, we still held on our buffaloes. We had our buffaloes. Damn tootin' right we had our buffaloes. We kept right on with them babies. So anyway, then
Wait a minute, let me ask, what did Abilene think of all this? Because he wasn't affected, right?
No, but we got into... them guys, they never got nothing.
They never got nothing,
it seemed like. And he was always with me. But we got into one firefight, and I just don't remember. I'm trying to think of what firefight it was. And Lieutenant, rather, Captain Barron said, Abilene wasn't to stay in the perimeter with us that night. So I give him two clips of 45s, and he didn't show in the morning. So I asked Barron for permission to take four men with me as a control. I wanted to look for him, you know. And I found him. We had a banzai that night, and I found him. And he was in a hole, and he had killed 26 Japs before they got him. They got him. He killed him with his machete and his little machine gun. We buried him right with his machete and his machine gun right in the same hole he went down. See? And this is what hurts so bad, you know.
This was a killing? Around killing?
I would have said it was that killing. Because we come out of Tabin, okay? Yeah, this is that killing. And it was during that one banzai attack that they had pulled on us at killing. And I'm sure that's where it was. But he was a good man. He was a damn good man. We lost him, and Captain Barron felt real bad. Because, I'll tell you why, we marched between two other small villages, and there was some guys going with the villagers, you know. And he said, "Jap, Jap, cook, cook, Jap, Jap, Jap." So I got Captain Barron, and we got a couple of guys, swung around, and sure enough, they were Jap spies. They were not spies, they were soldiers. They were trying to get to go with the Filipinos. Filipinos were scared to say anything because they'd have killed them, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, I asked him in the sand, "How come? How did you know? No hair on the legs."
Yeah,
leggings. See, from wearing leggings, no hair on the legs. Yeah. He could tell right away. And he was slick. That's when Barron wanted him as a number one boy. He helped us so damn much. He was a great help. He helped us with the buffaloes. He helped us with finding these people, you know, that were sneaking back with the civilian population and different things like that, you know. But to lose that guy, he was such a gentle guy. He was a small guy, but he was so good. He was such a good guy, thoughtful and everything. I would have loved to have brought him back, you know. Really, my family would have accepted him. We would have accepted him just like part of it. He didn't have, his whole family was gone. They killed him all.
They were likable people. I don't know what they're doing down there now.
Oh, yeah, they're still likable people, I'm sure. But anyway, that's the way that went, you know. So I don't know now. I'm trying to think of what's next on the line there.
Well, the last time you were coming back from Ormont.
Well, we come through Ormont. We went through Bryan Airstrip. And then we went into, I said Meechin Ridge from before, we were going into Killing, and I think that's where we lost Abilene. And I had got hit in the back with a piece of shrapnel. And I had a Buster Brown belt, Japanese Buster Brown belt. And I had a samurai sword. And before we hit in there, Mitch and Wolf and Zajac and them three guys, we always buddied pretty close, you know. We always together pretty close. And we were kind of a flank guard for the unit as they were going through these jungles, you know. And you'd hit an opening or a clearing and stuff like this, you know, and you had to be pretty careful. You had to look for snipers and things of this sort. So, God, we hit this one clearing and they opened up on us, and there was five Japs in that hole. It was like a trench. They were in there. And they didn't touch any of us, thank God. And I was in close, you know. And I said to Mitch, I hollered at Mitch, you know. And I'm going, you know, cover me, you know. And he had that damn bar, that son of a bitchin' bar, see. Well, that was Zajac and Wolf, and they were going to cover too, see. I was going to take them, see. I run like hell, and I had a Garand then, you know. I run like hell, and that damn samurai sword got between my legs, and it flipped me, you know. And I slid right up in there, and the first guy peeked up, and it bang, and I blew his head off. And the others jumped like, and Mitch opened up with a bang, bang. Well, Wolf and them, they cut down, and I got two more, and they killed two. See?
You mean that thing jammed more than once?
Oh yeah. I never heard it run. I never heard it on automatic. I never heard the sound bitch on automatic.
Well, there's a clip in there, it changed. Yeah. I was like,
well, you know,
jam in there, it changes.
He knew all about that damn bar. He was trained on it, but it was just. And just a Joner, that damn bar was a Joner, that's all. And I don't give a damn who run it, see? But he loved that bar. That was his, and you ain't gonna tell him no different.
That's a big gun.
Yeah, that son of a bean. And Mitch was a big guy. I gotta tell you about this. So we got into a firefight. Oh, shit. He had his assistant gunner. Well, the Japs always tried to kill a barman. They always would shoot first at a barman, you know, the BR man. Because they knew that he was an automatic rifle. And they were deadly. Boy, they were deadly. They cut down. That was unexpected to come up with a rifle. Brrr, you know, oh man, you know, like when them 30-odd six bullets went out of there, boy, they was chewing things right up. See? Well, we were digging a perimeter, anyway. We were digging our perimeter, digging the holes. Now I forget who the hell his gunner, his assistant gunner was. But he took a bullet in the helmet, and it went around and around and around and around and around, and it knocked him silly. You know? And he's carrying his rifle, and he'd walk this way, and Mitch would take him, come on, you along with him. This way, Mitch, big guy, you know, hell of a nice guy. You come along here. And he towed them all through the jungles, you know, and towed them all. We were digging a hole, see. So while Mitch was digging a hole, he hands, who in the hell was his name? He hands him the bar. And he's standing there with the bar, you know.
This is his assistant, you mean?
This is his assistant, he's standing at the bar, you know, looking around. And Mitch is digging like hell, you know, and he's getting the hole, something. And this guy is a little guy. Well, I forget his name anyway, he's a little guy. And Mitch is a big guy, tall guy. He gets the hole dug nice, you know, and everything, and Mitch is standing in the bottom, the hole. And this guy, and he wakes up. He wakes up and he looks at this bar, you know, and he's standing out in the open, you know what I mean? We're standing in the open, you know. And he looks at this bar and he looks at Mitch. You son of a bitch, you. He says, how long have I been holding this gun?
He could be the first guy to get it.
Mitch says, well, I'm digging the hole. Why you name old man, boy? And they call old Mitch every name under the sun. And old Mitch is just as patient as can. I'll take the bar. And they're just like treating a little kid, you know. Yeah. Just like this guy was really raising hell. Boy, Mitch would have just took his thumb and pushed him down like that would have been it, you know. But that's the way it went. Mitch was whatever was his, and nobody else's. And that little guy was his, and nobody else's, and he'll take care of him, see? And he takes care of his bar. It was really, everybody got the biggest damn laugh out of that, you know, I'm telling you, because, you know, there's two soldiers, and anyway, this one guy was just a little guy like that, and Mitch was standing just about nose to nose with him because he was in a hole yet, you know? And this guy was really raising hell with us. So there was a lot of funny ones going on too, you know, as far as that goes, you know. We had our comedy days too, and some pretty rough days, you know. So, but anyway, that's the way it goes. I got to think of some more of this stuff. It has to come back to me, you know.
Let me prime you every once in a while. Now, where did you get hit? Not a mean to.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I was digging a hole.
Whereabouts?
And I just got. Well, I tell you. And I just got this hole dug nicely. You know, I got my hole dug, and it was dark, almost dark. And all of a sudden, I got hit in the back, right in the back, and I had a Jap Buster Brown belt on. And boy, I mean, this with the samurai swords, yeah. You know. And that bugger was about that wide, you know, thick. It tore it right in two. Just a little piece was holding them together. See? It hit so hard. Well, you know how you would hit a frog in the head like that? You dunk him in his legs go like this. That's what my legs were doing, see? And I thought my partner hit me with a shovel. And I says, you son of a bitch, you know. And we didn't like to swear because, you know, under the conditions that we were at, and we were shooting mortars right almost perimeter, what's called, on the edge. It could have been even a piece of our own mortar that hit me. But it was a shrapnel piece that hit me, and I had my back turned like that.
Was this
dirt? They called the corpsman.
Was this dirt a firefighter when you were?
No, this was a little later after we come out of orbit, Ormoc. I just don't even know just when it was. Because I got hit in the chest too, and knocked me down, and I had a chunk taken out of my. I had a scar here for a long time, you know, and I just kept on going. And put a little Band-Aid on it, and we just kept on going. See? Go, we didn't know place to go.
What else are you gonna do?
Yeah. So anyway, I told the corpsman, I says, I'm all right, I'll be all right, I'll lay in a hole, I'll be okay, you know. Because it was dark, there was no place, it was too damn far for the Battalion A to take me back or anything like that, and there was nothing in the street. There was just two pieces, like two snake bites on either side of my spine, just like that.
Oh boy, you're lucky it didn't hit it in the middle.
Yeah, it just quick like that, see. So the next morning I got up, I woke up, and I noticed I could move my legs. I could move them, you know. So I rolled out of the hole and I crawled to a tree, you know. And I crawled up that tree and I stood there, you know. And if Corman says, let's go. No, I says, I'm going with the outfit. I ain't leaving here. I'm going with the outfit. Well, how can you do that? So I get my buffalo, I'll go. So I got my buffalo, and I started to walk a little bit, and I got on the buffalo. Captain Barron was madder than hell at me. I should have went back, you know, and I wouldn't. So anyway, I got to go to the camp.
Now's
so,
good
yeah.
Turn it off. Pause.
Yeah. There's Don.
We are pausing while he goes to the can. Happens to the best of us.
Or someplace, you know, yeah, that'd
we'll
be great.
Get him in there,
yeah. So anyway,
you're in the buffalo.
Yeah, so I got on the buffalo and I just followed the gang, just the same as I ever was. You know what I mean? And Captain Barron, he was a little upset with me. And he thought that I should go back with, back to the unit, back to the Battalion 8, and I said, no, it's okay, I'll be all right. So we carried on, see, and I got hit in the chest at Tabin is where I got hit in the chest, but that was only it was just a chunk took out, just a chunk took out, you know.
Kind of flipped it out.
Yeah, it didn't, it was, I thought I was dead, because I couldn't feel it, you know, it hurt. But on the outside, but if it hurt inside, I thought, well, geez, that must have went inside, because there was a chunk out of there, see? So when I called the corpsman, and there was no place to go. Like I said, we were ambushed and everything. And he just put a Band-Aid on it.
Well, was it a bullet or was it shrapnel?
It was probably shrapnel is what it was, and I don't know where it even come from or what.
You never know.
That stuff flies around. It could be a piece of tin. You could hit and shoot bullets off of that there, and a piece of metal off of that. You don't know where the hell it comes from, you know, really. But it went right through there and the shirt was rotten anyway, and just flipped it right off like that, you know. So, but anyway, so we carried on, and now let's see, we went through Meechin Ridge, Bloody Ridge, Killing, T Tabin. And of course the assault landing, but that's on a different deal. That's a start.
You didn't tell me about Bloody Ridge.
Well, Bloody Ridge, we had a big. That's where Bloody Ridge is where they got most of their alcohol and stuff. The Jap alcohol, and we got. I think that's where we got these beautiful Jap blankets and stuff. And we couldn't even use them. We did use them, but we didn't use them. We had to leave them because you couldn't be carrying them around. They were white. They were nice. What's going on? Okay. See, there was another time we went out on a patrol, and we come up to a hospital, because I remember this intelligence guy was with us. Well, the Japs had killed a whole bunch of our boys in a hospital, and we were pretty upset about it. This was a Jap hospital. I had no involvement in it, really, but we did come up to the hospital. I can remember it being on stilts and everything, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there was Japanese in it. And we had an intelligence man. We killed everybody in that hospital. I think even the patients was killed. I'm not going to swear by this, but this hospital, it was on a large patrol, and there was a lots of stuff done, and I don't know exactly what happened, but this intelligence guy, I was only from here to the shit house from him when I heard him, and he had got shot right straight through the head, like this, and they claimed it went past his sinus and his brain. And knocked his helmet right off, and it knocked him down. They called up a weasel, and he was sitting there.
He wasn't dead?
No, he was sitting. He was sitting up. And he picked up his helmet, and there was a hole in the helmet, because it went through the other side, because it flipped right off. Didn't touch the helmet this way. Went under the helmet, and hit, went out the helmet. It must have had a tip like that. Yeah. And they walked him right to the weasel.
Holy crow. Isn't that strange?
And they drove him off. I can remember that. And yet we were by a hospital, see? I mean, you could smell stuff in there, you know, like alcohols and stuff. So I'm not saying what happened in this hospital. I'm not going to say. I don't know. But I know that there was nobody, I didn't see no prisoners. And I think in retaliation, I think they cleaned X.
Cleaned them up, huh?
I'm not going to swear by that. I'll deny everything I said but on that. But I do know there was a hospital involved. And we went through another village, and there was some Japanese officers committed harakiri. We were cleaning them up pretty fast. We were moving pretty fast. And we went in there. We had to be very careful for booby traps, stuff of this sort. We never touched them. We could have got harakiri knives and everything, but we never touched them. We were rather afraid of them. You could see them that they were dead, and they had committed this harakiri. This was just different little villages. This was no fight, or just where we was going through. So then anyway, we ended up on a beach. Can't really think of anything else. We ended up on the beach, and we had our general was General Easley. He had his arm in a sling. And they had this was the only Marine outfit they brought in, an artillery outfit, see? And our 11th Airborne was trapped behind Jap lines on Leyte. And would you believe they lined us guys up and they had a bunch of goddamn parachutes that were half underwater and they were going to put them on us and push us guys out of them airplanes. You know? Well, our general said, they are like hell, you know. And then, well, we got to get them guys out, or you get them out any damn way you know how, but you ain't taking these men, you ain't going to do it. And Christ, we look like ragamuffins, really. See? So what happened, we were loaded on landing crafts, and we went across the straits into Samar. See? On the island of Samar. Mm-hmm. And we landed at the town of Jose. San Jose.
San Jose.
Well, we didn't really run into any resistance to speak of, but they had a naval base there, not a naval, like a air base, you know. The Corsairs flew out of there. Corsairs.
You mean ours?
Yeah, Corsairs. Yeah. They had the Seabees had been in there already and made the strip, and the Corsairs were there, and we were there to protect them. Don't you see?
Yeah.
And on Leyte Day, they had the 38s. And the 51's in there. And they had, we had some 17s. We had some B-17s in there too. And 24s.
On Leyte?
On both strips.
And on?
They had them kind of divvied a little bit, the bomber ends of it. So we were in Samar. And the Seabees, they had rifles and no bullets neither. Well, they had monkeys, you know. They catched some monkeys, you know. And you know how they caught the monkeys, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, they take a coconut, see? And you drill a hole in the coconut. And then they put a dime in it. Something shiny.
Shiny, yeah.
And they would, them monkeys would pick them up and they'd see that in there. And they'd reach in there and they'd get a hold of that dime, you know.
Yeah,
then they can't get their hand back, their paw back out, see? Well, then when they try to climb a tree, they can't climb a tree with that coconut. They won't let go. They will not let go. And them guys would hook onto them monkeys, see? So anyway, our cook, he got a hold of one of them monkeys, and he really liked his monkey, you know. It was a dandy. And we had them old stoves, you know, and them stove stack going up, you know, and everything like that there. And this one guy would come in there and he'd tease that monkey, you know. And that monkey hated him, you know. Son of a, you know, he really hated him. He didn't like him. So one day she surprised that monkey and that monkey jumped right up and grabbed that stovepipe, that hot stovepipe like that. Boy, did he ever holler.
He was going to climb the tree,
yeah. Yeah, oh Jesus, did he ever. Boy, was the cook man. Throwed that guy right off. The hell out of my kitchen and you stay the hell out of this is my kitchen and you stay out of here, boy. I think the guy outranked him, but he throwed his ass out, boy. He meant it. Out. But he was mad because his monkey got hurt, you know. So he buttered him up. So he buttered that old monkey up, you know. You know.
Yeah.
And
I guess
nursed him and everything.
I guess butter's good on monkeys.
And I picked up a monkey about this big. I call him Susie. Call her Susie. And I put her in my pocket. That's what I carry in my pocket. She could peek out, you know. And Lieutenant Brown, he just loved her. He found out. He was on Leyte, though. But he found out that I had her, you know. He'd come to Samar, and then he had to go back, you know. And he just loved that little monkey. Susie, I called her.
Where'd you go across the straits then?
One of them landing crafts again.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
Yeah. We went in them landing crafts.
We're going to be out in the open ocean.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were right out in the open ocean there before. Right. Hell, we was probably a mile and a half offshore. You know.
Yeah, miles all right, but hell, that's a lot longer than that.
Well, I know, but what the hell's the difference? It's just as deep in the mile as,
as
2 miles or 3 miles or 4 miles, you know. But of course, we did. I got to tell you that we sat in a hole there. Now this is on Leyte at the time. We were about 5 days out when they had this big naval battle in the straits, this bombardment, this naval battle. Well, now I want to tell you that the night was daytime. The night was daytime. Now, can you imagine the amount of gunpowder they were shooting out to light up the whole sky? I mean, steady. It was a steady light, steady. Boom, 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 boom.
And you can't imagine how anything could live through that.
And this was not at land. This was a Japanese, the Japanese Navy, and the Japanese Navy throwing it back at our Navy. That's when they had them coming through the straits there. The admirals had them bottled up, but we didn't have that many ships. But we lost some of our boys in that deal. But we won. In the same token, we won. You know. And I should tell you about that. It was a nighttime. It was actually daytime. Really, it was that bright.
I've seen them.
Boy, you could hear them guns just booming. And you know, you could get under one of them battleships and actually see that missile go out. It looked like a Volkswagen going out of that barrel. Oh, man. And I'm not joking. You could see the damn things, really. You could see them lobbing down through there. Now, I want to tell you, they were putting out a lot of iron out of there, boy. And I'll tell you, a lot of explosive going. So anyway, I was on Samar. I had this little what's come, this little monkey. And I kind of hung around Whitey and I. We'd watch these Corsairs coming in and out, you know, beautiful ships. But the buggers, they never approach a field. They always dove in on a field, just like they did on aircraft carriers.
Marines.
Yeah, screwballs.
All the Marines
like that,
crazy.
And they'd drop right in on the fields.
I think the first training of Marines was to make them crazy.
And, oh, I don't know, boy, but they flew them planes. They done pretty good.
They had terrific abilities, of course, there, that other planes didn't have. I mean, they could come down, straighten out, and land. No other plane could do that.
That's what they were attempting to do, or they did do, and some of them come down in a crosswind. Turn their ass around, and geez, next thing you know, boom, 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 that's the end of the wings, and they're coming in like this here, you know. And I remember that one guy coming in, upside down, hanging there, hanging in the straps, you know. Whitey and I sitting on the edge, and here comes the damn meat wagon busting down through there, you know. Would you fellas mind unhooking that pilot? Drag him over here. Jesus, the mud to beat hell, you know. And them guys, they got to be sharp, you know. And them's the hospital guys, you know. Okay. And here we're scared to death because here they had 50 caliber machine gun bolts laying all over the explosive ones and steel ones and tracers and everything laying all over the place. You could pop them right out, you know. They throw them all over the place. 50 calibers all over the place. Okay, so we unhooked the guy. You know, we were watching. If the plane would have got on fire, we'd have got him out of there right now. We were just watching. We unhook him, you know, and the guy, oh. We had to unhook his parachute and stuff, you know. He's all buckled in there, you know. Dragged him over. Thanks, fellas, thanks. That's okay. That's okay. That's all right, you know. We watched these guys. This one time, old Whitey and I was sitting out there, and these three Corsairs take off. I get up there quite a ways. Here comes a 38, P-38 flying across. Oh my God. These old Corsairs, they dove in on that 38, cut down on him, put some holes across his boom. Wow! You want to see a 38 come in, mister. He comes straight down at that field. We thought he was going to crash. And he pulled out, and when he pulled out, his prop, the wash from that coral, just flew, and he had her on the ground.
I didn't think a 38 could do that.
Uh-oh. This guy knew his onions on that side. Yeah, out of them props didn't even stop turning. He was out of that plane, and he was hiking, and he hollered at where the hell the command post was, you know. They told him, boy, boy, you know, run like hell, you know. Get down over there. See what's going on. And we were standing outside. commander was there. This guy didn't even eyeball him. He didn't do nothing. He just right in the office and slammed the door. He wanted to know what the hell three-man patrol was out. Blah, blah, blah. Well, he's just, commander's just a minute, I'll, you know. Never mind, he says, all I got to say is to tell them they're goddamn bum shots. Out the door he went. Well, they had to, they pulled the plane back, you know, on the string. What the hell are you touching my plane for? Oh, mechanic. Get the hell out of, oh, he swore at him and everything. Jumped in his airplane, wound that son of a bitch up, and the whole island shook. And when he took off, I don't think he went from this, from here to that shack even straight up. He was gone.
That's a hot plane.
Was he pissed? Was that man pissed? Well, I tell you, those three boys come in. I bet you they set their ass out for a week.
Yeah, I bet they'd burn their tail.
Oh, man, was he. Was that commander? That commander, he, I bet he don't even know the guy's name. I bet they never even got the numbers on the plane because he was in and he was out. Boy, was he mad. So anyway, but the thing was, and it was very sad, they had a 17, and they were going out with a full load of bombs and 3,000 gallons of high-octane gasoline in them. And one of the Corsairs, she was taken off and the commander was in it. And they were taking off, and a Corsair come in and cut them off. And they tried to abort the takeoff. And when they did, they... And I was a quarter mile, my shack was a quarter mile from any place of that. And here comes an engine. Chew, 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 chew. Well, they found... They went, there was a hole, you couldn't believe the hole that was in the ground, man, I'll tell you. It was in that ground. And they found the flak jackets just in feet right in the...
This 17s or 29?
No, not the 29s. No, no, no. We had a couple seven. We had some 17s and we had some 24s. There. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot.
Or it could have been a 20. They could have been 25s, too, but I think there were 24s. But anyway, well, I know we had 17s. I know that. Because I seen them come in. I seen them come in. You could have walked through the holes in them, you know?
Yeah.
Walked through. They good. Come in like that, and a tail, you know, she went touched like that. Forget the tail wheel. They're just falling. Going down through there like that, you know. Boy, they were scared. She'd blow up fire and everything else, you know. But anyway, they were great ships. Those 17s were great ships. And all them airplanes were great ships. They were all good ships.
They brought some of those 17s back when there was nothing you could do with them but junk them.
Yeah.
So then
we got in, and I got to meet some of the guerrilla guys, you know. And I got around the island a little bit, you know, and I got to meet some of the guerrilla guys. And they kind of liked me for some reason. They cook, cook all the time, you know. Cook, cook, you know, this or this. And anyway, they says to me that they weren't getting paid for the Japs they were killing on the island. And I said, I didn't see no damn Japs around here, you know, really. And so I went with them a couple of days, you know, had permission. And they were upset about it, you know. They did. They killed Japs, and then they didn't get paid.
These are locals you're talking about. Local.
Yeah, guerrillas. Yeah. Local guerrillas.
But I mean, they're from Samar.
Oh, yeah. Samar people. So I says, all right, I'll tell you what you do. You cut their heads off. Put them on a pole, and you take them down to that young commander. That was to the CB outfit. See, they didn't go to the Air Force commander. They went to the CB commander. He was building the strip, and he was in command of the whole bunch, you know. And he was the one that was supposed to be paying them. And you make him see them. You make him count. And you just leave him go home. Come back. They did that. Well, pretty soon that pile commenced to start to get pretty goddamn big.
And loud, and then, too.
Yeah, but it's a wonder we didn't get it. We should have got it. Yeah. And I didn't want to be responsible for it either. It really was kind of all of our idea in one sense, the way we discussed it, you know. Hell, they were putting them heads on the mud flaps. The 6x's had a head on them, radiator cap. You know, oh my God. And we had one sergeant, Michael Thomas, I think was his name. I think that was it. He'd come along, he'd get them heads first, he'd rip their jaws open, he had his pair of pliers, pulled all the gold teeth. He had pockets full like this here, gold teeth. Them big pockets, you know, them big GI. Yeah. Gold teeth. He couldn't hardly walk, that son of a bean, you know. He was scared to bury it and everything, you know. But anyway. So anyway, that went on. And then I seen the scaffolding, and they hung 9 guys in San Jose. Killed in action. Rape, murder.
You mean Japanese?
7 niggers and 2 whites.
Oh.
Were dropped in San Jose. And I seen the scaffolding and the whole works. And so they can't tell me everybody would die in action.
Some of these American night fighters in the Philippines, when we got down here, of course, after you guys were left, and these blacks came in and told the Filipinos they were night fighters.
Yeah, night fighters.
American night fighters. Yeah. And so they gave them, you know, gave them a town. Yeah. And of course, they take the women out.
Oh, that was their deal, you bet.
And the ones that we talked to, the guys down there, they said that they told us about the guys in the village over there, the house over there, it had 6 girls, 1 boy. The boy was the oldest. And one of the night fighters come over and took out that girl, and that was fine, you know, we were helping the Americans. And she come back and told them what happened, and that boy, big boy, went out after. Mm-hmm. Come back in about an hour. That's all, nothing else said. But the people went out later and found that knife fighter in pieces on the road.
Oh, yeah.
About 15 different pieces.
Well, they had this here happen, but this here was, they had that, what you call them, mau maus, up in the mountains, you know. And this one nigger went up for some, he was going to go up for a monkey, you know, they were going to go catch a monkey. Mm-hmm. Went up there and he raped one of them women. And the man, the husband, followed that guy's track. How he did, I don't know. But he had the right guy, anyway. All the way into the CB camp. The guy was a CBer. And he took the guy's head off. Right there in camp. They grabbed him, and they were going to execute him. Until they got a guy that could understand his lingo, you know, talk. And said that this guy raped us. No problem. Turn loose. They were going to kill him.
I would think so too if he didn't know what the story was.
Right. He tracked them right to the middle of the what's coming, lobbed his head off. Yep. Those guys, those headhunters were something else, boy, I'll tell you.
No kidding.
Yeah. So anyway, so I got tangled up with that a little bit, see? And then, of course, like I said, Whitey and I, we sat and we watched these airplanes come and go, you know. And we made Raisin Jack. We stole a lot of raisins. And even got some apples now and then and cut them in there, too, you know. We wouldn't touch the women. We just would not touch the women. We protected the women more than any. And then,
Outside the Philippines, I never saw one of them want to touch anyone.
Yeah, right.
Even after 18 months.
That's right. Well, they said in New Guinea there, they look whiter every day. But anyway, I got malaria, and I got yellow jaundice, and of course I was covered with this yaws and stuff, you know. So I was sent to the aid station, and they in turn put me on one of these flying milk bottles, you know, one of those C-47s. Mm-hmm. And they flew me back over to Leyte, and I still had my little monkey with me. you know. And hell, you could stick your head out a hole in that damn C-4 to look around, you know, if you wanted, you know. But they were old time. But them buggers was a good plane.
They still are. They're still using them.
Yeah, they're a good plane.
Of course, they call them DC-3s, but yeah. That's the only plane that really has survived time. That was built in 35, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And I saw a write-up on it once, I forget the number, about 17 or 18 nations are still flying these.
Still flying, yeah. So anyway, yeah.